Hello and welcome to the Good Fight Podcast, where we are informing and empowering truth seekers to take their place in the good fight. This is Brian Holm, and I'm here solo once again. We're missing my partner, Denver, who's doing well, making money in Utah, and sends his greetings. Talked to him just yesterday, and he did send his greetings, and we should all be encouraged. He shared that he's been successful in encouraging one person in his sphere that's never voted before in their life to vote in this election and to vote in the way that we think makes common sense. It's kind of a no-brainer. So that's a great thing. So we can all ask ourselves, how are we doing? What are we doing in our sphere of influence to help influence things for the future? So it's nice to be back with you again. It's a season 4, episode 7. And today I'm going to talk to you about why I'm more and more becoming a one-issue voter. So typically, sometimes one-issue voters are looked down at on perhaps as maybe being kind of tunnel vision and myopic a little bit. But I think you'll agree with me that this topic covers an awful lot of other things, or enables an awful lot of other things that we think are important. So I'll get to that with you in just a second. But right now, when you listen to this, it's going to be after Labor Day, and it's sprinting up to the election. So I encourage you to sprint with me, no matter how long the run has been, that last little bit to the finish line. Most people do that sprint to make sure that they are able to finish it, finish the race, and do well, and we want to do that. So expect that the more positive the things look like for the Trump and Vance ticket, the more crazy the opposition to him is going to be. So we have no idea. It's like 60 days before the election or so. And it guaranteed it's going to be crazy. And if things go our way, I think things will be crazy also, if the situation in 2016 was any indication. But I think going from here, I'm targeting you, our listening audience. So for us, most, if not all of us in our audience are convinced that a vote for the Trump-Vance ticket is the best for a lot of reasons. In a lot of ways, it's really a no-brainer as far as we're concerned. And about half the country agrees with us. Don't forget that, because the mainstream media is going to make us think that, oh, we're weird and we're the deplorables and all that stuff. So don't let that get to you. It's a typical deliberate tactic, and it's just not true. So just realize the truth will win out at some point, and the truth will set us free. And we are acting on that. We have the right in this country to speak our mind and to try to advocate and to persuade people. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. I tell you, for me, I think the election is vitally important. No, existentially so. So that's kind of an overused phrase, but all that means is that our very existence as a nation, or the freedom, the free society as we know it, is being threatened. And I like to think of it as that, you know, we're living in this wonderful tree, a comfortable life. We're living up in a tree or tree house. And then we look down and somebody's sawing away at the very trunk of the tree. And that can only happen for so long before there's going to be some very dire consequences. And I think that is really happening. So for me, I want to have no regrets, or as few regrets as possible after the election, that I did as much as I possibly could to make this happen, because the stakes are just too high. Now, like it or not, the election is going to be won or lost for us by how a very small number of people in a small number of states are going to vote. So because of that, focusing on identifying who those people are and convincing them to vote, and to vote the no-brainer way that we know is best, that's going to be vital. So for us, there's a lot of things that we need to know, that we need to have as a foundation, but there are just a few issues, things that will really help swing that vote, and to get some of the misleading and single perspective of the mainstream legacy media and some other things out of their minds. So how do we do that? So what's your part and what is my part in that? So I'll get to that in just a second. But I want to talk first about with you about what I mean about this whole one-issue voter thing. So I mentioned briefly in the last episode that there were three issues that we can emphasize to some of those people that are still on the fence about how they're going to vote, that will pretty much affect everybody's lives. that will help them convince that a Trump vote is a no-brainer for the average American. Remember that EBC thing. So economy, border, and crime. So everybody was better off in the economy, or most everybody, 4 years ago than they are now. You look at the inflation, and don't buy the lie. Oh, inflation's down. Well, that's like gaining weight. You've gained a bunch of weight, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, I only gained 2 pounds this year instead of 20 pounds last year. Well, you still got the 20 pounds you're dealing with. So it's the same way with the inflation. Those things are there. We got to work on getting those things reversed. The border, don't fall for the whole business. Well, it's the Republicans and Trump that stopped the bipartisan, what amounts to be the amnesty bill, or comprehensive immigration reform is the euphemism for it. That when you look at that plan, it was still allowing a lot of illegal immigrants in no matter what. Whereas when Trump took office, the border was virtually sealed, a lot better. And Biden undid that with executive orders. He could have undone it without that bill at all, without any Republican support, if he wanted to at any time, which he did not and chose on purpose to do. So don't buy that. Crime, the 10 million plus illegal aliens or legal immigrants or legal migrants that have come in since then cannot help but affect our community. Sure, there are a lot of good people. And as Christians and just good neighbors and citizens, we want to try to be compassionate toward those people. And I think there's a real valid ministry for churches out there to, in the short term, try to be compassionate to people. But you think if only 1% of those 10 or 13 million people are hardcore terrorists or gang members, you think of what those people, as organized as they are, unleashed on our streets and in our communities can do. That's awful. And who knows what plans are being made now for that. So don't buy that on any of that. So keep talking economy, border, and crime. They're good. Now, but none of these important issues are my one issue. But in many ways, my issue I'm talking about today is an umbrella that covers all of these things. Okay, so you have any guesses? Now, a lot of us that have been involved in elections, we would say that for us, the life issue is very important. And it still is very important. But that's not the one issue I'm talking about. That's another one of the issues that my issue today has helped us advance the life issue as much work as we still feel needs to be done. Well, so here we are. My issue is free speech. So why free speech? Well, it's the right that underpins all of our other freedoms. And so if we're able to have free speech, then we can exercise that free speech. We can sit down at the table with people of goodwill and we can hammer things out. That's the way our system is designed to do. Now, as I've had some conversations, and I had a conversation or two this week with people who don't agree with me or don't agree with us, and people always brings out, well, what about the abuse of the free speech? And I'll get to some more of that in a second. But I want to encourage you. There are a couple of people that have come out, some very heroic people, and then I think maybe a more self-serving person that has really illustrated how, if for no other reason that we should vote the Trump-Vance ticket, if for no other reason we should vote for it by free speech. Okay, one of these heroes is RFK Jr. So he's been around, and I really encourage you to listen to all of his speech on August 23rd, where he suspended his campaign and endorsed Trump. Free speech is an issue for him. He said his primary is a primary reason, because his free speech and the quashing of free speech by the media and the Democratic machine has kept him out of the primary, and in his mind has kept him from getting in the race on the Democratic ticket. And again, in his mind, perhaps winning the election. But I think his speech really represents that as many of his policies as a longtime Democrat, he's definitely a liberal still. But on many of these things, he sees that the free speech is so important, and that his Democratic Party, and imagine a Kennedy, virtually synonymous with the name Democrat, coming out and doing this. But where they used to be the champions of free speech, now they're the ones quashing it. And I admire his courage and his boldness to speak out and to vote differently since he feels that that's necessary. So that was his main reason. He's got two other reasons for coming over and supporting Trump, and that is the children's health and the issues, the epidemics of childhood obesity and toxic chemicals and processed foods. I think there's a lot to listen to about that, and I really want to explore that, and I think it's important that we do that. And the Ukraine war, that the extent that we're doing what we're doing in Ukraine is not in our best interest, the way that we are doing it. So it's real interesting that for those of you out there that remember the Vietnam War, I don't see anybody that can have been against the Vietnam War that wouldn't be against the Ukraine War. Now, there may be some little talking points that people have, but I just don't get it. Really listen to that speech and admire him for coming out and doing that. And I think his voice will really help us in there. He pointed out that the Democratic machine kept him from doing that. And they've been doing that for the last elections. Think about how in 2008, Barack Obama threw over his own vice president. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. In 2008, Hillary was kind of thrown under the bus in favor of Barack Obama in not entirely fair ways. In 2016, Barack Obama threw over his own vice president to endorse Hillary. And then in 2020, Bernie Sanders was really gaining a lot of steam until somebody in South Carolina decided that, oh, Biden needs to be the person on this, and kind of threw the weight that way. And then here's a record. Biden got thrown over again just a couple of months ago in favor of Harris. So it's just not a fair playing field. And that's not democracy. That's not in being in favor of democracy as much as they want to tout that when it suits their purposes. So our voices as conservatives may not mean as much in some people's ears as the voices of people like RFK Jr. And again, Tulsi Gabbard, another person who has kind of seen the light. It's really interesting to follow her political transformation, because I think that she is really coming over more to a conservative way of thinking, if I hear properly. Elon Musk, same thing. He's a common sense guy. He's no lifelong conservative, but he's also seeing that free speech thing is important. And again, don't buy the stuff you're hearing about how awful Elon Musk is for what he's doing to Twitter. It's propaganda. If he hadn't bought Twitter or X or whatever and done what he did with it, things would be a lot different for us now. And some of the truths that I'm going to talk about in a second would never have come up. So listen to how the left is dismissing and discrediting these people, RFK, Musk, and Gabbard, and many others, for daring to call BS, basically, on their own party and coming over and realizing that, at least for now, they need to endorse and see that Trump and Vance get elected so that Harris and Waltz don't. Now, those people, those three, I think, are very heroic in what they've done. Now, Mark Zuckerberg this last week has also benefited us greatly, perhaps less heroic and more self-serving, but it's still true. So hopefully you've heard about the letter that he wrote to Jim Jordan of the House of Representatives. But basically, he admitted that the government, because of the government's influence, they on Facebook took down information, censored it, legitimate reports on two things that in the end have proven to have been true, but they censored them as falsehoods. Okay, the first one's the Hunter Biden laptop. I won't go into the whole thing, but when the government told Facebook that this was like the Russian, this is Russian disinformation, they'd had the laptop for over a year. They knew that it was Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, the big question is who at the FBI put that up? And I think that's very important. And when we find out, that will be a huge political scandal. Some people say a lot bigger than Watergate. But they purposely asked a public free speech platform to censor information they know is true. That should be chilling to everybody. And yet it's not getting the kind of press that it's the other thing is COVID information. We won't get into the whole COVID thing right now, but there's a lot of COVID stuff that that was censored just because it disagreed with the government's preferred perspective. And as I'm going to talk about in a second, the solution to disinformation and misinformation is more robust free speech, not less. And the government on purpose, at the willing cooperation of people like Facebook, who should be in favor of a neutral platform, they put that down. So what about some of the questions to that? Misinformation and disinformation. Well, it's been a question forever. But the solution to false information, like I said, is not less speech, but more speech. That's what's going to be the corrective to it. Any other solution you try to come up with, and yeah, I'll address some of the very specific exceptions to that. But by and large, the solution to false information is not less speech, but more speech. I really like what RFK said in his speech. He said that tyrants and liars, they don't try to suppress lies, they suppress the truth. Okay, and look at those two examples of the Hunter Biden laptop and the COVID stuff. Look at those two examples. They weren't suppressing lies. They weren't trying to get rid of that. They were trying to suppress the truth. And the true things that aren't true will be able to be dealt with by more free speech. So we need to take time to be informed. Okay, that's important. So you and I, we listen to podcasts like this. Again, look at the resources if you have very limited time and you don't listen to me necessarily, but go to those resources. Now, know what are your principles are and think and act according to them, but be open to persuasion. Check your facts. Be ready to ask everybody else or other people for the facts that to back up what they're asserting, but also be willing to back up what you assert and call on others to do the same. So for people like RFK, you can't just dismiss him because he's a Democrat. Okay, listen to what he has to say. And if after what he has to say, you can dismiss, that's great. Like I did when I listened to Bernie Sanders' speech at the Democratic Convention. It was pure Marxist, communist propaganda, big government taking over everything. But when I listen to Kennedy, he's got some things to say. I can sit down with somebody like that, even though I don't agree with them on everything, and we can hammer things out. And that's going to be the advantage of having Trump or having RFK and Gabbard at the table with Trump to help make this work out. Now, I hope there are some other voices, because I hope that some of the things that RFK espouses and perhaps Gabbard espouses won't be adopted by the Trump information. So we need other strong principled voices to be able to be at that table. And I'm hoping that there'll be some strong, committed Christian voices there, too, to speak up for some of those timeless things that are things that our Creator has established that aren't ours to change. They're ours to uphold. So now, last question. Aren't fact checkers good things? Well, think about that. If somebody says that, ask them what qualifies someone to be a fact checker and who fact checks the fact checkers. So it's too easy for so-called fact checkers to have an underlying agenda and a harmful bias. So you always got to go to the source. Okay, I listen to most of the Republican convention speeches. I listen to at least 3/4 of the Democratic convention speeches, as difficult as it was sometimes, because I want to be. It's very different than even what our own friendly commentators say about those speeches. So I think that that's great. Now, in a way, all of us need to be fact checkers. So if you know the reference in the book of Acts, the New Testament, the believers in this town of Berea were kind of the original fact checkers, because they told the Apostle Paul or the people that were sharing the gospel with them, yeah, we like what you're saying, but we're going to look in the scriptures and make sure that what you're saying is true according to the scriptures, and good for them. So we have to go back to the original sources. That's what I like about David Barton and others at Wall Builders. They go back to a lot of the stuff. At the end of the day, robust free speech is the ultimate fact checker. Okay, and that should be one of our quotes for the end of the day. And if I remember it, I'll put it in, which I haven't yet. Don't let the scare tactics about obscure hypothetical exceptions tell you otherwise. Yes, there are exceptions like the yelling fire in a crowded theater and stuff like that. But I've heard lots of qualifications about free speech, and just tell them the remedy to false speech is more free speech, not less. All right, wrapping this thing up. What does all this mean for us in the good fight? Okay, it's a good opportunity to remember why free speech is so important and be able to articulate it. Now, in a way, right now, this is more important to us who are already convinced of what we are doing than it is to the people that are still yet to be persuaded. But we have to be aware of it. So listen to some of those resources about it. I've got them put down there. Some really good explanations of the free speech aspect of the Zuckerberg letter and things like that. Still keep EBC, the economy, the border, and crime. Keep that in your toolbox. But use free speech as another tool in your toolbox. And quote RFK and Tulsi about that. Point that out. And have them have your people, if they disagree with that, let them listen to RFK and Tulsi in their own words, not what the people on CNN and MSNBC and others are saying about it. All right, what can we do? Okay, so review and use that list of conversation starting questions that I mentioned last time. I've got them in the notes. And if you didn't get them, you can email me and ask me for them. But I now have successfully used a lot of those questions in conversations, and I pray that I can continue to do that and that you'll do it too. Second thing, download and use the Turning Point Action app. If you need help with that app, then please email me and let me know. Now, right from the app, you can help people register to vote. Okay, Denver also has somebody that's very close to him that has never voted in their life, another person. And you can use that, talk to them about how important this vote is in every state to make sure that they vote. Next thing you can do from the app, you can see who your conservative neighbors are, wherever you live, and you can try to visit them. Okay. I've done that once so far. Okay. I do that with great fear and trepidation, but it was a very good visit. They don't send you to hostile households as far as they can do. But make sure there's a lot of things you can even ask them about how you can help them vote, encourage them to vote, take their ballot in where that's legal in your state, help register anybody else then, in their household. That would be great. On the Turning Point, you can sign up to be assigned 100 swing state voters that you can contact and chase their vote. You can do that from right here in California or wherever other state you live in. If you live in a blue state, you can have and that influence in a red state, even from where you're sitting. Now you can volunteer like I just did to go to a swing state physically and spend a week chasing the vote in person. I just signed up to go do that in Arizona. I haven't heard back from Turning Point yet. I hope they won't reject me because I'm old, but they'll even pay your hotel lodging for what they say. I hope I can do that. I will really feel good about really being able to make a distance there. So like I said, I've got the app. I'm taking baby steps. I'm right there with you. I'm a little afraid, but I'm more afraid of the consequences that will happen if I don't, the things I don't do and having those regrets. So I want to offer one quick tidbit before we do our quotes. Okay. And this is not related to the free speech thing necessarily, about Project 2025. If you've heard that brought up in the debates, the Democrats have really glommed onto that. And they're really accusing Trump of going on to this awful right wing, MAGA Republican, conservative, ominous thing. You know, Project 2025 comes out of the Heritage Foundation. It's a highly respected conservative think tank in Washington. They've been doing stuff like this for years. Donald Trump successfully used in 2016 and for that administration a lot of their suggestions, including for the wonderful Supreme Court judges that we have. So Project 25, it's long. It's, you know, like 200 pages long. It's an in the weeds set of policy suggestions for the next conservative administration. That's all. It's just a smorgasbord of suggestions that they would recommend to help a conservative administration get off to a good start. By Trump's own admission, they made some mistakes at the beginning of their thing. And I think Heritage is really trying to put together some very common sense things. They're very principle oriented. And Democrats are you know, using a lot of scare tactics and interpolating a lot of things in between the lines. Don't be fooled about that. I've read the beginning of the Project 2025. I probably won't get through to the end of it, but there's a lot of good stuff. So don't let that throw you. Getting ready to end up. Thanks for listening. This episode's included a lot of important information for us and the audience, as well as suggestions for you on how we can talk to as many undecided or unlikely to vote people as possible. Remember what I said at the beginning, our purpose is to help truth seekers find their place in the good fight. That includes us and our audience, and then for you as you go out there and find other people. And I hope you'll have at least one good interaction with somebody and that will encourage you to try for more. All right, it's like a sprint to November 5th, so let's be motivated by not wanting to have any regrets. It's worth the sacrifice of some time, some money, some comfort, and maybe even some conflict or disagreement. We don't have to yell at anybody. We don't have to be disagreeable. Ask questions. That's such a powerful thing. And utilize that list of resources. If you don't have them, email me. I'll make sure I get them to you. I got a couple of quotes here that I want to quote you, the quotes of the week. One is a biblical quote from Jeremiah 29:7, and it says, "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." So it's talking specifically to the children of Israel that were carried to exile in Babylon. And it was saying, you know, don't whine and complain too much, but work as hard as you can for that. Now, for us, especially if we're Christian believers, we're kind of strangers and pilgrims on the earth anyway, just passing through. Our ultimate citizenship isn't in the U.S., as thankful as we are for that, it's in heaven. But we are here. This is the country we've been called to, and to seek the peace and prosperity. Conservative principles like we are espousing here in the Trump advance thing, it's the stuff that is proven time and time again is going to result in human flourishing, peace and prosperity. In essence, the stuff that Harris and Waltz are doing, it's a lot of emotional arguments, but it's leading us down a very different path. So don't be deceived by that. And a lot of us with common sense, we want to try to promote that too. People will see that. The other one is the end of the Gettysburg Address. So Lincoln is talking at a battlefield where a lot of people have died. He's saying, "It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotions to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom, that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth." So just think of that. Isn't that awesome? So that the people that have gone before us, our founders, our veterans, people that have died, they've not died in vain, but that we can take increased devotion. In other words, let's get out there and do something. Let's go to that sprint before the election, that we can have that new birth of freedom. And that is not going to happen if the other side wins. Our freedoms will continue to be taken away from us and go off into a kind of a woke mire of just the opposite. So we've got to be able to, we're not going to convince everybody, and we don't have to. So make sure you realize that. Okay, the results of a Harris-Waltz ticket will not bode well. Okay, a lot of it's eroded in the last 4 years. They've been sawing away at that very foundation that we talked about earlier, a foundation of who we are as a nation. That can only go on for so long, and that's the big fear. If they win, it'll be like what's happened the last 4 years on steroids. And I'm not talking about the things that are important as they are, of inflation and stuff. I'm talking about the freedoms of free speech to be able to express ourselves and not be locked up for it. Be encouraged. God's in control no matter what. Our blessed hope of eternal life, if we have Christ's forgiveness, is the same no matter what. In an eternal sense, we have nothing to lose by working, speaking, and fighting ideologically, not violently, for the country we've been blessed with. The duty's ours. The results are our God's. Now let's pray, work, be thankful, connect with like-minded patriots, engage with those that are in your sphere that might be open to it, and ask good questions. All right, so now let's get out there and sprint. We love you. Let us know what you think, what questions you have. Email us at goodfight71@gmail.com. All the love to you, and hopefully I'll get something else out here in a few more days and a little bit more frequently between now and the election. Love to all. Take care. Goodbye.